When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
We don't play it much, but when you hear this song, it means we're going to the streets of Philadelphia to talk to our friend, Mr. Dave Zangaro. Davey Z covers the Eagles, has done it for a long time, is very good at what he does, and joins us now. What up, dude? How are you?
What's going on, man? One day I think you're just let the song play the whole way through, and I'll just forget that I'm supposed to be doing this.
Well, I've actually had a talking to from our boss, the Cluster Buster, that I let the music play too much, but I just enjoy it, so I'm just kind of jamming out. Sue me.
There was a minute there. I was like, I forgot what I was doing. I was like, all right, yeah, I love this song.
Well, dude, the Eagles haven't forgot what they're doing. They've won 10 in a row. The win over Pittsburgh, maybe their most impressive of the season, but that discounts that they just beat Baltimore a couple weeks ago. What's going right in Philly?
A lot. It's been a really impressive season, an impressive run here. You're right. The Ravens win, the Steelers win, both really big. Two of their quality wins this year. You start with their defense. They have the number one defense in the league. And it's funny because you looked at the Eagles before the season and you probably thought, okay, if Vic Fangio can get their defense to play average football, they can have an elite offense with all those skilled players and that offensive line, and that'll be what the formula is. But it hasn't been that way. I mean, the defense has been fantastic since that early bye week. They're just really good, and they're doing it without a ton of superstars. They have some guys who will be Pro Bowlers like Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, the linebacker, but it's been a surprise how good they are and how quick they got that good. They're relying on a lot of young players, and they've been fantastic. And then on offense, I mean, the formula for most of this win streak has been run the football. You have Saquon Barkley. Don't overcomplicate things. And then there were some questions after they won a close game against the Panthers, like, can they pass the ball? And then last week against the Steelers, they showed that they can. So they're a good team, and they're a pretty complete team right now.
Dude, they really are. Specifically defensively, that front seven has emerged. You had a lot of young players, a lot of new players kind of figuring things out, and it is transformed now. I mean, Carter, Smith, you talked about Bond. I think Dean's playing really well. I mean, just how good is that group?
Yeah, I mean, start with the linebackers. Zach Bond has been playing at like an all-pro level this year for a guy who wasn't a starter before this year. When they signed him, everyone kind of thought he's going to be like a situational edge rusher, a guy you kind of put out there on third downs and let him rush the passer, and he's been an every down player for them, and he's been unbelievable. So the whole coaching staff deserves a lot of credit. He deserves credit for that. N'Kobe Dean, someone who really didn't get to play very much in his first 2 years, he basically had a redshirt year in 22. In 23, he was supposed to be the starting middle linebacker, and he had foot injuries, missed most of the season. So he's been their green dot in the middle of that defense, kind of getting everyone lined up. He's been great. And then up front, Jalen Carter's the star of the show. He's playing at a really high level, kind of an all-pro level. He has the ability to take over games. But they don't have that, like, premier edge rusher. And a lot of people, including myself, wondered if that was going to be an issue. And it hasn't been. They've just been really good rushing together. They actually they got back from their bye week. They had a week 5 bye. Since that bye week, they lead the NFL in sacks with 33. And that's without having a guy who's going to be like a 15-sack guy. Josh Sweat leads them right now with 8, and it's just been like a combined group effort after that, which kind of makes it more impressive.
the back end of that defense, you talked about some young players a little bit earlier. Quinyon Mitchell was spectacular against Washington the first time they matched up. How's he been looking as he continues to go on in his rookie season? But the other guy, too, Cooper DeJean, it feels like DeJean started the year a little bit slow, wasn't as involved. He's been really good lately. Everybody's talking about him outside of maybe the matchup against the Panthers. Adam Thielen ate his lunch a little bit. But what's been so impressive about those two rookies as the year has gone on?
Yeah, Quinyon's been an every-down player for them since week one, just a starting outside corner. And he had been playing really well until that Washington game. But that was on prime time. That was kind of a good chance for the rest of the country to see how good he's been. And he showed out in that game. He was obviously really good against Terry McLaurin. But he's done that pretty consistently throughout this year. I don't know if he has the stats to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he might be the favorite now. But he's playing at that level. I mean, he's been kind of a shutdown guy for them. On a team with multiple Pro Bowler and Darius Slay, I mean, Quinyon Mitchell's been their best corner this year. And then Cooper DeJean, he was hurt in training camp a little bit, had a hamstring injury. He missed a lot of the summer. I think there was a good chance he would have been their starting nickel from day one without that injury, but because of it, they kind of slow played it. After that week five bye, he's been in the lineup, and he's been really good. And it's funny because, Adam Thielen, like, got him a little bit, but even in that game, it wasn't like he got roasted. It was just he set such a high standard this year that he gave up a few catches, and we're like, oh, the sky is falling here, but he's been really excellent. He's added a level of physicality to that defense, which you wouldn't really assume from a nickel corner, but he plays that position with toughness. He's really good at getting around like garbage and traffic in front of him and making plays. So, he's been excellent as well.
Talking with our boy Dave Zangaro here from NBC Sports Philly. You can follow him at D Zangaro NBCS. That's DZANGARONBCS. If you want to, make sure you check out the Eagle Eye podcast with Dave and our guy Ruben Frank. Davey has an article up on some key matchups for Eagles Commanders and specifically Terry McLaurin and Quinyon Mitchell. I have more of like – I'm a believer in – every week in the NFL is its own entity, and trying to read too much from last week into the following week is difficult. Now, it's a little different when you've won 10 in a row, and you at least defensively seem to be getting better. Like, not necessarily up and down, just better. But, dude, Davey, 2 weeks ago they had a one-score game against the Panthers where if a rookie wide receiver holds onto the ball, that thing's probably going to OT. Who's that Eagles team? Because that's not the same team that showed up against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you're right. I will give the Panthers credit. They actually played well in that game, and they've been in some close games this year. And sometimes you forget that, like, and I know it's such an NFL cliche, but, like, they're professional players. Like, they can make some plays, and they did in that game. Bryce Young was really good, and their defense made some plays. I think the Eagles' problem in that game, aside from their defense not being as stout as we're used to, is that their passing offense was really bad. And it was something that, you know, they won that game, and in the locker room, it kind of didn't feel like it when you talk to some of the offensive players. There was some clear frustration from guys like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Lane Johnson about the passing offense because it was a moment where, you know, they'd been running the football so well during the games before that. And obviously, you lean on it if it's working, but they knew there would be a game where they had to pass the ball to win, and that game came up, and they weren't able to do it at a high level, and there was some definite frustration. So last week was a really key week for them because they had to figure out some stuff, and as the players have said, they had to have some like tough conversations with each other and get through it and get better, and the Steelers game was kind of a proof-of-concept game for them because the Steelers kind of sold out to try to stop the run, which is what teams are going to do when you run it as effectively as they have, and they were able to take advantage of it through the air. And there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do that. They have A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, one of the best offensive lines in football, and if teams are going to like load the box and make sure that they don't run the ball on them, they have to be able to pass it. That's kind of the way this is structured, that if a team wants to take away one element, you have the other to fall back on, and they were able to do that against Pittsburgh.
What's the difference this year? Last year we saw this team start really well and then kind of fall off a cliff. This year, you know, they've been on a roll lately, but then you saw a little bit of strife with A.J. Brown, and then Brandon Graham kind of adds into it, Jalen Hurts, all that stuff. What's allowed them to overcome some of that stuff this year that kind of hampered them last year?
Yeah, it's funny. Last year, at one point, they were 10-1, but it felt like the whole thing was being held together by duct tape. A lot of the wins just were ugly wins, and that's why that Panthers game felt a little bit like a 2023 win, where like you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it like, hey, we won a game. It's hard to win in this league. We found a way. Or you can say, yeah, we won, but there's a lot to improve on, and we need to fix it. And after the Panthers game, they looked at it and said, yeah, like we won this game, but that's not our standard. Like, we want to enjoy the win, but, man, like they didn't play up to their standard. And they knew that, and they were able to correct it. Just in terms of, like, some guys aren't vibes guys. I look at the vibes in the locker room. They've been much better this year. The team seems to be connecting more. They're having fun winning football games, which sounds really basic, but it wasn't the case last year. It was, I think they had so much pressure on themselves after the loss in the Super Bowl to kind of be perfect. And when things weren't, it started to unravel. That hasn't been the case this year. I think this year feels a lot more like 22 than 23.
Dude, I'll be honest with you. As somebody that's been in a lot of losing locker rooms, being a vibes detective is a vital part to being a good reporter in the NFL, honestly, because you could just, like, you could tell. One thing that I don't think a lot of fans realize is at times the offense and the defense just hate each other. Like, if one side's okay and the other side's terrible, it impacts how guys' next contract's going to look, and if they hit certain clauses in their current deals. Like, there's a lot of real stuff that goes on. And when the vibes are high, it's way more fun. You know, with Sirianni, dude, it seems like it's a wild ride. It seems like Big Dom is of vital importance. But at the same time, I don't know that anybody would really dispute this. The Eagles 1-53 has got to be the best in football. And it's probably by a fairly decent margin. Now, I'm not saying they have the best players in football. Like if you're only measuring 1-4 of every team, that's probably Kansas City. But 1-53... that's Philly. Is the talent just so much that it's kind of unscrew-upable?
No, I think they had a lot of talent last year, and they screwed that up pretty well. So, you know, it's tough because you look at Sirianni, and the question always is, like, how much is he actually doing? Like, how much is he helping this team win, or is it just a product of really good players? And, like, obviously the really good players help, but Phil Jackson was a good coach, right? Like, he had a lot of talent, and he made it work. And I think there's an art to making it work when you have a lot of talent, when you have a lot of high-profile players. And it hasn't always been perfect, and I think certainly if you're going to give him credit for the vibes and the feeling around this team, you have to kind of give him you look at last year and take your shots at him for that, because that was certainly on him, or at least a lot of it was. But, yeah, this year he's managed that locker room really well. When there were some signs of dissension last week, I thought he did a really good job. I thought the other leaders of that team did a really good job of making sure it didn't unravel on them. So he deserves credit. I understand that when you have a coach who's not running the defense or running the offense, it's hard to figure out exactly what he's doing. Man, I don't know. The results are there. It's whatever they're doing is working. So, and I don't necessarily think he cares how much credit he's getting for it.
Looking at this passing offense, the numbers not, you know, eye-popping because they just haven't passed it as much. They've run the ball a ton, more than anybody else in the league. Is it something that if you can stop the run that you can really feel like you got a shot against this team, or is Jalen Hurts in this passing game good enough that they can go win a game by themselves?
Yeah, I think that was the big question last week going into that Steelers game. What happens when a team really sells out to stop the run? Can Jalen throw the ball downfield? And I think in that game, at least, he proved that he can. And there's no reason, like I mentioned, that he can't. I mean, you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. That's a really good start. When the playoffs come around, they expect to have Dallas Goedert back from injury. And then that offensive line is maybe the best in football. So no reason to think they can't throw the ball. The one thing Jalen Hurts deserves credit for is he's really cut down the turnovers. Early in the season, it was a big problem. And they were kind of a throw-first team. He was making a lot of mistakes. He had 7 turnovers in the first 4 games. He has 3 since. So he's just playing really efficient football. And there has been the question, like, is he playing too conservative at times when they need him to throw the ball downfield and be aggressive? And I think that's just, like, a really hard balance to strike perfectly all the time. But there's no question that him protecting the football has really helped them during this win streak.
I mean, he's been really good. It's It's fascinating to watch it unfold up there because I read, I don't know who was saying this, but it was basically like, yeah, you know, the Eagles are kind of fighting and bickering, but it's kind of reflective of a city that's a fairly combative bunch, and maybe that just kind of works there. And we had Ike Reese on the show yesterday, and he was like, yeah, man, you know, in this city, the second there's a topic, we're going to seize on it. And then, you know, the players have to push back on it. You've covered them all. You covered that team that actually won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles in Minnesota. You and I were standing in line for a roller coaster when the Alex Smith trade went down, and Brian and I had to go work for 3 hours, and we maybe had a few drinks already.
Just maybe.
And the Eagles win that Super Bowl. You and I were there when they lost to KC a couple years ago. Does this feel like one of the Super Bowl teams? We're late in the year, man. You get a real read on this.
Yeah, it does. It's obviously, you start with the talent on the team. It's a really talented roster, like you mentioned, but they're coming together. That defense, at a certain point, they just are what they are, and they're a really good defense. I think early in the year you're wondering, is there some mirage here? Are they not really this good? But they've done it now for as long as they've done it. I think they are that good. And then on offense, I think there were some questions about the passing offense, but, I mean, the talent there has to win out, right? You look at that offensive line, those receivers, the quarterback, the running back, the tight end when he comes back. It's just, it's a talented roster, and like I mentioned, if we're being the vibes detective, as you called it, the vibes are good. It feels the way it's supposed to feel. Now, obviously, in the NFC, we'll see how it shakes out. I do think, you know, home field advantage is important. That one seed it's a big deal. Both of the times they've gone to the Super Bowl, that I've covered the team, they've gone as the one seed. So I don't want to understate that. And they still have a chance to get that. But they also have a chance to go 15-2 and not get the one seed. I also think that Lions offense will not travel as well. So if you're asking me the NFC Championship game, is it in Detroit or is it in Philly? I think there's a really big difference there. So a little bit of that is now out of their control. But as far as the team itself, I think they're the best team in the NFC right now.
You giving any shot that Saquon wins the MVP?
I think it's unlikely. If he needs about 140 yards per game over the last three to break Eric Dickerson's record, if he does that, I think maybe he'll get some votes. But typically, the way I look at it is, like, if you're going to have a non-quarterback win it, it has to be a spectacular year from a non-quarterback, but also there has to be, like, not a clear-cut answer at the quarterback position for MVP. The problem with this year is that I think there's a pretty clear-cut answer at quarterback. It's Josh Allen. So, we'll see how the last few games play out. I think Saquon will probably finish second in MVP voting. I think he deserves some votes, but I understand why it's probably going to go to Josh Allen.
Man, I think if it goes to Allen, he's been fantastic, but it's just people have Lamar fatigue because Lamar's numbers are just outrageous. He's got 35 passing touchdowns against three picks.
Yeah, he's been great.
Davey, let me ask you this last thing. So the Week 11 game was tight to the end, right? It was tight till about 10 minutes left, and then Saquon's able to break two. I think the second one is more of just a mental flub by Washington. The first one more legitimate. Washington's offense wasn't great that day, and they're now without Austin Eckler, Noah Brown, and likely Zach Ertz. But defensively, dude, you're able to add Marshon Lattimore, who completely shut down half of the field last week in New Orleans. And dude, you might get John Allen back. I don't know if he's coming back this week, but he sure looks like he's coming back in these next couple games. What's a bigger deal, that they've lost some firepower offensively or that they are significantly better defensively?
I think that defensively, because even though they lost firepower offensively, you can probably answer this better than me. Jaden Daniels looks a little healthier these days than he did in Week 11. He just didn't look like himself in that first matchup. So if he's – obviously, maybe that balances out without the skill guys on offense, especially Eckler. He killed the Eagles in that first matchup. I think he had like 8 catches for like 70 yards or something like that. So that was a problem
for
him. 8 for 89, wow, yeah. So I know he killed them in that first matchup. So maybe that kind of balances out. Defensively, Lattimore's been really good against the Eagles. And the Eagles played him earlier this year in New Orleans, and they didn't have A.J. Brown in that game, but Lattimore did a good job when he lined up against Devontae Smith. And then in 22, they faced him, and he did a really nice job against A.J. Brown. So I think that does help them. I like Sanders still a lot. He's been a really fun player to watch. So I think they're better defensively. So I'd probably say that.
All right, Dave. We appreciate you, bud. I'll see you Sunday.
All right, guys. Take care.
That's our guy, Dave Zangaro. Give him a follow at DZangaro, NBCS. When we come back, there's a really, really cool high school football and basketball tournament this weekend that I want to make sure is on everybody's radar. Nobody go anywhere. It's B-Mitch.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Finley. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Very excited to get Sean Strippmatter on the line, co-founder of the Brian 11 Foundation, and just talk about this Brian 11 All-Star Weekend. I think it's just such a cool event that I wanted to make sure it was kind of on people's radars. Sean, what's up, dude? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Appreciate you having me on.
Give everybody a lay of the land this weekend of both. So you've got an elite high school basketball tournament and a high school football tournament going down this weekend. I think it's at Georgetown Prep.
Yes, sir. So we're calling it kind of our Brian 11 Foundation All-Star kind of weekend. It's all on Saturday. We have a number of really high-level high school basketball games area going down from, you know, we got good talent on Georgetown Prep JV starting the day off. We got a huge girls basketball game with Holy Child versus Visitation. We got Georgetown Prep to Council. We got Bishop Ireton, St. John's Catholic Prep. We got end up the basketball stuff. We got Murray versus Tacoma Academy. And then at 4:30 that day, we got the first ever Brian 11 Legends Senior Bowl game for a bunch of
hold
local
on, before
DC
we get to the football,
guys.
Hang on, Sean. Before we get to the football, let's talk about the hoops. I mean, some of these teams, you're talking pretty legitimate. I mean, Prep versus Good Counsel, you got some guys that are going to be playing college basketball in that game, right?
Oh, a number of them. I know the Prep roster a little better, where I think they have 4 or 5 D1 commits on that team alone. A couple guys going to Army,
really?
A BC commit.
That's crazy, dude. Did we lose you, Sean?
A lot of talent on the court that day.
Yeah, I bet, man. I bet. And then, honestly, I mean, that I went to a visitation Sidwell basketball game a couple years back. That was unbelievable, the level of women's basketball play. And I imagine that'll kind of continue. Is that a big game? I'm sure.
My understanding, so my sister asked me to Holy Trout. So my understanding, that is a big rivalry game between the two. A lot of neighborhood rivalry there. So I'm actually most excited to watch that one that day. I heard it's going to be massive. A lot of people coming out for that one. And it's two really good basketball teams facing off.
Well, dude, I mean, for me, just knowing how Vizzy and Holy Child, that's a big overlap of students and brothers and sisters and friends. So that's going to be a big one. All right, now let's get to the football game, because this is a pretty ambitious day, dude. So you have five basketball games followed by a football game that night?
Yeah, so originally it was supposed to be on a Friday. We had a little schedule conflict, so we moved everything just to one day to kind of make it easy. So basically, for $10 at the gate, which all gets donated back to the foundation, you get to watch all these events happening throughout the day. If you want to hang out for one game, great. If you want to hang out for everything, you can watch it all. And we got
it's only
some
10
really
bucks?
Good talent for football games.
It's only 10 bucks to get in?
Yep, just $10.
Damn.
Well, tell us about this foundation as well. We give it 10 bucks. Where's it going? What are we doing?
So what we do is the Brian Levin Foundation is named after my older brother that passed away in 2022, and his one love more than anything was sports, just sports in any kind of way. So what we do is we give student-athletes the financial support they need to attain a private education in this area, because all of us being from this area, there are so many really fantastic private high schools. Like, there's so many to choose from. So we don't want money to kind of be the reason why a kid can't find the right spot for him. And it's not just about sports, but it's also about staying in the community. So what we do is we kind of try to help ease that burden on families that might not be able to financially afford some of these schools, because they are expensive.
They definitely are expensive. Well,
and I see that you tweeted out that or put on Instagram that you're teamed up with the Commanders. What can you expect with there? You said some legends, Major Tutty, some of those people are going to be out there. What do you expect with the Commanders, and how cool is that partnership?
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things I think we're doing is being able to pair with or team up with some of the local sports teams, and Commanders being my favorite team, obviously. It's really cool to have them out where they're going to bring – we got two legends coming out with them. Major Tutty's going to be at the game. Manforce is going to be out there. So it's a really exciting day, especially being teamed
Love
up with
that.
Them.
That's really cool, man. I am a big Major Tutty fan. If people listen to me, I have not always been the biggest advocate of all things associated with the rebrand, but I do love Tutty. I'm a Tutty mark, man. That's cool. He's going to be there.
I was really excited. I love that guy.
That's dope. Who are some of the kids playing in the football game? Where are they going?
So we have a number of the kids have offers they haven't decided on yet, but guys who are committed-wise, we got Aiden Buchanan out of your council, who's actually going to go play at West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
He's a big 6'8 lineman. Great kid. Really happy he decided to join us to play in this game. We got Eddie Batista, also out of the council. He's going to Brown. Real smart kid, playing offensive line also. And then what's really exciting, we have some kids from really all over the area. There's this kid, Pete Armstrong, out of Parkside, out of Salisbury, that's playing in this game. He's going to Merrimack, and watching him in practice, he's a player. He can really play.
And wow. Dude, is it harder?
I know Georgetown prep kid, Ahmad Clark going to Navy. Really excited about watching him play.
So you got an Army and a Navy kid coming?
No Army kid, just Navy.
Okay. All right, gotcha. Is it harder for you guys to set these games up, especially a football kind of all-star game? You know, the high school season's been over for a month at least, I would guess. And now they've got NIL deals and, like, all this other stuff. Has that impacted your ability to get these kids to, like, commit to the game?
A little bit here and there. But so what the game is for is for the kids that just love football, for the most part, is how we started it out. But it's also for those guys who are maybe getting overlooked out of this group, this senior class. We've had multiple, up to I think about 10 different D2, D3 schools come out to practice looking at some of these guys. Just because coming out of the pandemic, a lot of these guys are kind of getting the short end of the stick with getting looked at and different things from NIL to transfer portal. And there's a lot of talent that's just uncommitted in this area. So that was kind of our main goal was let's get some of these kids some looks from some local schools. And there are places to play football.
That's very cool, man. All right, where can folks get information if they want to come this weekend? I mean, that dude, if you want, you can be there from 11 a.m. watching hoops till 8 o'clock at night watching football for $10.
Yep. Exactly. And we'll have TVs on with all the college football playoff games going.
Oh, that's even better.
Sounds like a good day, then.
Yeah, that's a really good day. Toby be happy with soda. Course. I'd probably want some beer. I don't know. All right, where do people – I found this via Instagram at Brian11 Foundation. Is there a different spot, something else you recommend?
There's the Brian11Foundation.org, the number 11, Brian11Foundation.org. You can find some stuff. There's the Legend Senior Bowl Instagram that can also give you some more information. But the website would be the best to find information about the foundation and all the games, Brian11Foundation.org.
Okay. Awesome, man. I hope it goes great this weekend. And, you know, let us know how it goes. Good luck. Have fun. Hope the weather. What's the weather supposed to be like Saturday?
Cold, it's be probably cold, chilly. But I think we get a little sunshine.
Okay. All right, man. Well, enjoy it, dude. Thank you for joining us and letting us learn a little bit more about it.
Thanks, man. Good luck.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Yo, and tell Dennis Kane to make another donation. All right.
Will do.
All right. Check out the Brian 11 Foundation, dude. $10.
Yeah.
You get four basketball games and a football game, a high-level high school football game. That's pretty damn fun.
Elite high school hoops.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear from Joe Witt. We're going to hear from Cliff Kingsbury. You're going to hear from Quan Martin. And you're going to hear from Doug Kammerer. Nobody go anywhere.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in with J.P. Finley today out here in Ashburn. Defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. at the podium. Let's take him to you. Take it to you now.
First off, we'll start with the New Orleans game. You know, you never apologize for a win. It wasn't the way that we wanted it to be. But like DQ talked about, you know, you need to be put in some hard moments. The last play was a good play, a good winning play. It shouldn't have got to it, though. You know, we had some opportunities within the game. I think we dropped two interceptions. We had a couple penalties that kept the drives going, and points were at a premium in that situation. So, but it was learning moments. You know, when you it's easier to come off of a victory and be more demanding after you get a victory. We're 9-5. That's a good place for us to be, and we're trending in the right direction. As you looked in the New Orleans game, I thought Marshawn played really, really well. I mean, he wasn't targeted. That shows the respect that they have for him because they see him every day. They knew what he was. I think the quarterback actually looked his way twice, and the ball never left his hand. So, you know, I don't foresee that being the case moving forward because, you know, people at some point are going to have to throw the ball at him. But a product of having him on one side, that means Mikey on the other side, I'm going to get a lot more throws at him. And he had an interception. He had an opportunity at another interception. He's a ball guy. So he should relish that opportunity from that standpoint. Also in the game, I thought D.A. played really, really well. I thought Chin played really well. Johnny, I thought Noah, I thought all those guys played well in the roles that we asked them to do. Everybody knows we've opened up the window for J.A., and he's moving and looking really well, man. I've been pleased with what he did yesterday, and he's worked really hard to get back to where he is, and so hopefully the training staff will get him where he can help us in the near future. And transitioning to Philly, you know, hottest team in the league, you know, simply. That's what they are. They're a good football team. It starts with the runner, you know, Saquon. He can do everything, okay? He can catch it out the backfield. He can run. He can jump cut. He can run with power. He can run with speed. He's a very talented man, okay? The quarterback, Jalen, he's a winner. He's been a winner from day one, okay? And everybody makes a big deal about the lack of throws, all right? When he does throw it, he throws for a lot of yards, just like he did last week, all right? They're deciding to run the ball because they have the best runner in the league, all right, and the best offensive line. So you talk about the offensive line, the tackles, Jordan and Lane, they're phenomenal. I mean, there's a play, actually, I think TJ might have sacked him, but Jordan spun around, got on this guy, stayed on it, his feet. It was just a really impressive play to see a big man that 6'8" move that way. And then you have the receivers on the outside, AJ and Devontae, okay? So You know, we have our work cut out for us. We played them well for a while, you know, in the first game. We talked about the last 6 minutes, and we got to make sure that it's 60 minutes of football. So with that, if there's any questions, hopefully I knocked everything out the way. So
there weren't many questions. There's not much left.
Yeah, I know. That's why that was my plan there. So let's see what we have. All right, go ahead.
Going back to Marshawn, when you did watch him, I know they didn't target him, but what did jump out about what you saw from him on the field?
There was a couple things. He played with a lot of confidence. He communicated well. You know, there was two reductions where he was the one, and he wasn't supposed to be the one that led the communication on those reductions, but he did, and that was really positive to see. And just the command that he had of the defense, and like I said, I give a lot of that credit to William Gay, because he's you know, was with him from day one, teaching him and being that mentor that we asked William to do with a lot of these guys. So, but I was just really pleased with the command that the young man had of his game.
And then with John, I know, you know, still in that window period, but mm-hmm. what would it mean to get a guy of his skill back for the stretch run?
Well, you know, I don't even want to get into that yet. You know, I just want to see, you know, how he moves, and I don't want to get too excited about getting him back in until I see. But it was a positive start, what I saw yesterday. But you know, it's the first day of the 21 days, so let's let it go a little bit further.
Derek Forrest got more run than we've seen him all year. What mm-hmm. Why was this a game for him to get more action? I know Jeremy had the injury, but there was before that. And what did you think of his performance?
Well, you know, actually, the last couple weeks, we've been trying to get Forrest in there, and situations have limited. Sometimes we were rotating him and Percy, and so the game would change. And this game just happened to roll his way more than it did Percy's way, and he was out there. We think both of them are really quality players, and he's been deserving to get these snaps. And so I just wanted to make a point of giving him the opportunities to go out there and make them. You know, he played solid. You know, there's some plays that he probably wants back. But I thought it was for him. I think he played somewhere around 30 snaps or so. I thought it was a solid performance for his first time getting that number of plays.
And I know stats can be looked at in a variety of ways. You guys are third in yards allowed since, I think, like week 7. Do you think that's a reflection of what you guys have been able to do over the last several weeks?
You know, I think this, okay? I think we're just a group that's going out working. Nobody, you know, stats, you can make stats look any kind of way or another, but we're playing solid ball, okay? All right, and you can believe it or not, the thing that we're not doing, we're not turning the ball over. All right. You look at the last 4 weeks, everybody talks about the run game. Last 4 weeks, I think we're 1 or 2 in the league in run defense. Okay. And that was a focus for us to get better at. If we start turning the ball over like we're supposed to, it's going to be hard to score on us. Okay. So I've been pleased with where the group is going. There, you know, we have to get the turnovers, and then the fourth quarter points must get corrected. All right. And that starts with me. All right. And we're diligently looking at what are we doing? What am I doing wrong? Do I need to hold some calls back? Do I need to change some looks up? You know, that's that. If we clear that up, you know, we're going to have opportunity to do some things here that we expected. The outside world might not expect it, but we expect it. So I'm proud of where the guys are.
That was Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr. at the podium. Toby Altizer in with J.P. Finley today on B. Mitch and Finley. Joining us next, Quan Martin, Commanders safety. Keep it here on The Fan.